This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing four weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as four event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have fallen victim to the machinations of the Gotham Crown after Adrian was hurled into a cell by magic, where he was followed by Red, who was mortally injured. Old Man Richter arrived in cultist regalia, and Adrian held him hostage, thinking he was a cultist. Unfortunately, the situation has devolved, and cultist guards are about to open fire. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the Mythos.
You're facing down two inheritors with Tommy guns, one inheritor with a shotgun, and a couple more who are standing around looking real concerned about the life and times of Chad Chadlington, who seemingly just kicked a doctor in the face and is possibly about to get shot to death by his buds. Red, though your chest wound has been bandaged, your lifeblood is literally seeping out of you. As you were more injured than you've ever been, including when you went face first through a car. Adrian, you're a bit confused because the inheritor that you were holding just kicked the doctor in the head, but like he's still a bad guy, and he's got that symbol on his hand that you know means bad. And Richter, you just kung fu kicked a man in the face. It's pretty new and exciting.
Just swinging from a man's arm and letting my legs go. That's
yeah,
all.
It was just a full Jurassic Park Lost World gymnastics kick. But Wemsley Waxforth has just declared that the game is over. And so it may be for our heroes and our show. So let's see what happens. Tyler, on break, you said you had something. What does Richter do?
I am fully incapable of speaking, right? You're choking me still,
Adrian,
right?
Would you have let up your grip when he...
I don't know. There's a doctor. There's a lot going on. He probably wouldn't be holding as tightly as he...
Then I will raspily squeak out, "Red, close eyes." And I will take out the mirror of Samael.
Whoa! No!
push it out to everyone looking at us.
Holy shit. Okay. There is a moment where time seems to stop. There are fingers about to pull triggers. There's just it feels like a heavy moment. And you see all the eyes in the room, made perhaps more noticeable because of their position in the hoods, shift towards the mirror. And then all of them start to just sort of shudder a little bit. And a cacophony of laughter begins from all these hooded people. And then you realize it's intermixed with sobs. And then the screams begin. And you hear the guns clatter to the floor as they all start to reach up towards their hoods. And you can see red indentations as they dig their fingers into the hoods and begin to drag down. And as their hoods begin to soak red with the flesh they've torn off their own faces, you guys realize it might be time to fucking get to stepping. What do you do?
And then I think Adrian will just take the hood off of the cultist to see what the hell is going on.
It's old man Richter.
Richard.
Is that gesture indicative of me?
Yeah. He'll let you go. Yeah, like arms will say, Grandpa Richard.
I want to just snatch the. No, you're holding it. That's fine. I'll snatch the hood, the white hood off of Dr. Wimbley. Was it
Dr. Ambrose?
Dr. Ambrose. Ambrose Wimbley's Sylvain.
Just off of him, and just wrap the mirror in it so it's concealed once again, and pocket the mirror.
Cool. I think we're going to say that just so this doesn't become like a running Deus Ex Machina, you try and move it to wrap it, and you actually find you can't. It seems to be like stationary, and as you kind of take your hands off it, you can see the mirror floating, and all of the people begin to stagger towards it as they continue to tear at their faces and their chests. Okay. You think you see an eyeball hit the ground. It's gross.
Okay. Then I will just leave that there and say, no one look at this mirror. No one, no matter what. Adi, do you understand me? Do not look at it.
Yeah, you got it. I sort of have a thing with mirrors anyways. I'm okay with not looking. Can you take red?
Yeah.
Who at that moment like coughs up a chunk of blood?
I try and help her up. I've stabbed myself in the leg, so I'm having a bit of a hard time too, but I can sit her up and kind of...
I think Adrian would like to scoop two Tommy guns, just one under each arm. Yep. He's going to be very heavily armed for...
Are you going to shoot all these folks, or are you going to save the ammo?
He doesn't really know what's going on with them, but it looks bad. But no, is Waxley Wember Forth, whatever the fuck, is he part of Team Screaming Walking Forwards, or what's he doing?
I think we'll say that he managed to look away just because he's an interesting name brain character. So he's kind of like cowering as all of this happens behind them.
Okay, then Adrian will just take one Tommy gun, and then he'll take Waxley Wember Forth, whatever the fuck his name is.
Sure.
He'll grab him by the throat and pin him to the wall. And then just jam the like barrel of the Tommy gun into his stomach. Ooh. And just say like, where's the nearest hospital?
He says, it's New York, anywhere. And then
the city of hospitals and dreams. So
yeah, that's what it's known for. And then his eyes kind of go wide and he begins to giggle. Because by pinning him to the wall, he had a direct view over your shoulder of the spooky mirror.
Well, I don't want anybody to say that I'm not a man who keeps his promises.
And I would like to saw him in half with the Tommy gun.
Ooh.
So that his insides become his outsides. I promised.
You know what? And you are a man of your word. As you just fucking tear through him with the full clip of the Tommy gun, his bottom half falls off in a sickening schluck of viscera as his insides fall out. But you almost hear him sigh as his eyes kind of begin to defocus. And he just says, oh, that's much better. Thank you. Would you like tea? key, and then his head slumps onto your shoulder.
Ugh, it smells like poopy in here.
And then I'll throw him down and drop the spent Tommy gun and just scoop up. I guess there's probably two left or whatever. I'll pick up more guns.
Cool. So you pick up the other Tommy gun, and there was a shotgun. So you got one of those under each arm.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Richter, I don't want to rob you of your cool shit. So we'll say that with we should leave this here. Otherwise, this will just become our push go to kill button. So with the mirror still distracting them, you can hear it starting to crack as they all kind of like clamber towards it, and you can see them all like bashing their heads against it trying to get in. You make your way into the hallway. So you're in the Empire State Building. Red and Adrian, you both realize for the first time kind of what's being said. Richter, I think you can catch them up briefly.
Yeah. Have you ever been to New York? Because we are here.
So, Red, question for you. You're based in Boston with your mm-hmm. gang. Do you think you would have spent, would you have ever come to New York on a job, or is this somewhere you wouldn't have touched?
I think I probably would have gone to New York a couple times if they were like really important clients, because otherwise I would probably send one of my minions. So I've probably been here once or twice.
Okay, cool. You kind of like weakly nod. And again, things are getting pretty dark for you now. However, when you were in town, you met with your counterpart here. Because obviously in the same way that you were able to kind of carve out literally underground a chunk of space, for yourself, under Capone's kind of reign, New York being a much bigger metropolis has similar folks. So you remember the name of your kind of counterpart in town is Two Times, is his nickname, but his actual name is Marvin Gatsby. Marvin runs a smuggling operation. He tends to deal more in drugs and pornography and things other than booze, because he figured he could get away with more of that than... Capone would be less interested in that. So he runs that. But if anyone's going to have like a back alley doctor who might be able to pull you out of this, it would likely be him. Two Times operates out of an incredibly shitty, jazz bar, kind of in, kind of in the north, say kind of, I guess the northeast end of, Manhattan. So it's a bit of a ride. That said, I think you're able to mutter that to Adrian, who again probably doesn't remember this guy, but remember, like, I think in terms of how the gang stuff usually works, it's like, remember where we met that guy who had the funny shoes? Take me there. Or like, remember the place where the music was loud? Go there. So let's see that, how you would kind of convey that to Adrian, and then we'll see where we go from there. All this, of course, as you guys are like madly booking it down flights of stairs in Empire State. Luckily, you're only on the 13th, so mm-hmm. And I know what you're thinking. There's no 13th floor of the Empire State Building. That's exactly what Gotham Crown wants you to think.
Man, I wasn't thinking that, but now I can't stop thinking about it.
Don't think about an elephant. Oh, no. Cthulhu. Great. So, Red, how do you convey that to Adrian?
I think it would be like, Addy?
Yeah.
Remember the place that we went where you said that the music made you want to jump a lot?
Yeah. In different Boston?
Yeah, in different Boston. We're in different Boston now. Ugh. And I need you to take me there.
But they said you should go to the hospital.
Yeah, well, we can't. I can't go to the hospitals. I need you to take me to the place with the dancing.
But what if we just go back to Helmfirth and go to that veterinarian surgery?
We don't know how to do that, Addy. I need you to do what I say right now.
Okay.
Hey friends, it's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Steal a car if you have to.
Okay.
If you have to.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then we just see a scene from Grand Theft Auto as, like, Lurch as the Terminator with a Tommy gun and a shotgun steps into traffic and gets a car.
Yeah, admittedly, the driver's like, ah, no. New York in the 1930s. What else was I expecting? I knew I shouldn't have come here. I should have stayed in Chicago, a place where there's no crime. I'm kidding. Chicago's bad, too. Okay, out I go.
I kicked him out of the car. Ah! Like, I crossed from driver's seat out the passenger side.
Well, out I go. That's me, Chip Johnston. Kicked out of his own car. News at 6. All right, so you pile in. Again, it's you're in Manhattan, baby. City of big lights, big city. This is... certainly a big change of pace. Richter, for you, I don't think you've ever been in a place that has buildings this large. This is something.
This is like sanity check in and of itself. Just New York for Richter. Just like, mein Gott, they did it. Some bastards did it.
They were too busy asking if they could. They never thought to think if they should. Great. So you pile into the car. You kind of like shuffle Red into the back where she can lay down. Red, what's going through your head right now? I know you're kind of in and out of it. You've just escaped certain death.
I think at this point, like, brute survival instincts have taken over in the sense that, like, there is too much. There's too much going on. Too much magic, too many scary, spooky people in hooded masks. That right now she is just intensely focused on not dying.
Fair enough. Can you roll me a sanity check, please? As we've often described, I love that Red's version of sanity is just like how much bullshit can Red stomach before her brain just goes like, fuck this. You know what? Nah, fuck sanity. We're done. We're done.
That is a 64. And I have to get higher?
Lower.
Lower. Oh, no.
Oh, I think. I'm pretty sure. I have
the rules. You have to get lower.
I think you're right. I have to get lower. Yeah, no, I did not get lower.
Okay. Can you go ahead and roll me a D10, please?
Yes. 5.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So you succumb to a bout of madness, Red. Oh. And
please not heroic invincibility.
No, it's
please
not. It's not. You're very lucky.
this is back in there and kick driving. Everyone's ass. Yeah.
This one's actually really fun. So you got significant person, which means that you mistake another person in the scene for a significant person in your life. It says in your backstory, like, the significant person in your life. I think we're going to...
Especially, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to say that, like, as you're kind of drifting in and out, it's going to be one of the mystery punchers. Who do you mistake Adrian for? Is it...
Sally.
Who? Oh, Sally? Shit. Okay, so, Red, you're struggling to stay awake. And every time you blink, the car kind of swims in your vision. Then you kind of you feel relief because in the driver's seat, you see weirdly the one person who, even though you've probably never given this conscious thought, always kind of made you feel safe just because of the way she approached the world and the kind of outlook she had. You see Sally at the wheel and... it brings you a degree of comfort to know that that she's taking you to wherever she went. What do you say to Sally now that you're finally able to talk to her again? This also doesn't need to be a grand reunion thing because you are super injured, so this might just be like a thanks.
Yeah. Sally, it's Tracy. I don't think you'd be very proud of what did. But it's good to see you.
Adrian, what do you say to that?
Is Sally back there?
Victor is in the back with Red, hands on the wound with, yep. He's taken off the robe now, and it's just there to staunch the bleeding. And he's just, Addy, drive faster. We must get to the doctor soon.
And, Adrian obviously says, is Sally back there? Red, you hear, Sally just say like, what are you talking about, Red or what are you talking about, Tracy? Of course I'm proud of you. Did you do your best?
Always.
Well, I mean, that's what you always told me to do, was just to do my best. And I'm trying to do my best with this traffic, but I gotta tell you, it's pretty rough.
I just think we might have punched the wrong mystery.
Well, what did Addy say? He's usually pretty good about being cautious. Remember all the times he told us to, you know, not break the law and not do dangerous things? What did he say about it?
I'd say as she's driving, you see her hit an intersection with a lot of traffic and then just pick up a Tommy gun and fire it in the air. And then like Sally still being soft and gentle speeds through.
Yeah, you see Sally like ringing a bell, like just like a little like nice bell out the window as Adrian just like offloads.
It's all of Adrian's physicality, but Sally's serene face and just being like, you're going to be okay.
Yep.
I don't know if you'd recognize Addy anymore.
Why? Did he grow a mustache?
Not quite. It's not important. It's good to see you.
No, it's good to see you too, Tracy, but I gotta tell you, you're not looking so hot. You look, as you would say, pretty, fucked up.
I'll be fine. I have to be.
There's a lot of blood back there.
I have to be for Addy.
Yeah. I mean, he does need taking care of. I always worry about that boy. Oh, wow. That is a lot of blood. I mean, at this rate, they should call you Red. Richter, even though the doctor upstairs had bound the wound, the blood is like fully soaking through the robe now. Can you roll me a first aid check, please?
How am I at that? Wow, why have I not been healing you guys?
Because you don't care.
At a 67, that's still a regular success.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Okay, so you, I think you quickly, like, undo the bandages, and you can tell that, like, he just kind of wrapped it.
Yeah.
So you start stuffing stuff into the wound. You know it's not ideal, but, you know, it's what you've got. You reach for Red's flask and, like, pour some liquor in there just to try and keep it disinfected as best you can. Adrian, I need you to roll me a driving check. Despite you kind of knowing, having a vague sense of what's going on, I feel like if this was like a video game or a movie, like the screen is just slowly closing. Like there's just sort of a dark edge coming around things. Because even though you don't understand necessarily in the medical terms, but you definitely understand that Red is slipping away. And New York traffic sucks even in the 30s, so... Admittedly, you do look over your shoulder and see that tower that the monkey climbed in that movie you saw, and you're pretty happy about that.
Nice. That is an extreme success. I rolled a 6.
Nice. Okay, so a combination of the Tommy gun and your driving, you're burning up to the jazz bar. You can see it. You kind of turn down an alley, and you remember the place where you jumped a lot, not too far away. And the car's kind of like bumping and rumbling along this sort of back alley, driving over broken bottles and the like, as you pull up, beside it. Red, as you've been kind of drifting in and out, you know, Sally keeps kind of looking over her shoulder, looking out the window, ringing that bell a lot. She's obviously a lot bigger than you remember her because for some reason she's kind of adult size now. But also, in the same way that everyone else's stress is kind of like making everyone focus, for you things are getting brighter. There's a glow coming off Sally. There's a glow coming off the car. There's hands on your chest that are vaguely glowing. Richter, you're like rapidly repacking her wound, and you notice that there just seems to be blood everywhere, and like no matter how quickly you're packing it. And then you start to notice that it's not just hers, that your hand is still weeping.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah.
So, you know, you're pressing down. You're like, oh, no, it's bleeding. Oh, no, it's also me.
Yeah.
As you're pulling up, I think, Adrian, you're, like, laying on the horn. And you can see, like, the door gets booted open out of the back of this speakeasy. And a couple of, like, thugs come out with pistols. You see Two Times come out. And Adrian, how do you think you got along with Two Times Gatsby?
If we were just here for high-level meetings, honestly, I don't even think I know him very much. Like, I'd recognize him, but I don't talk to people. Like, I get sat in a corner and then wait through meetings.
Well, yeah, fair enough. I think given though, but you really enjoyed being in the jazz club, right? Is that?
Yeah, I like the club. So, I mean, he's sort of like Santa Claus at the mall. Like, I don't know him, but okay, he brings good stuff.
But I think he remembers you as well then, because like you did sit in the corner, but you also really liked the music and most people are just all business. So his eyes kind of go wide. Richter, you see a bunch of people kind of run out. What do you do?
I just start saying, help, we need help. We need a doctor.
Okay, so Two Times just starts like yelling to the inside. You see more people come out. Again, they still have their guns trained on you, particularly because Adrian's got a Tommy gun out the window of Ace Ventura style. Definitely like the cavalry is here. People are spilling out. You can see a great commotion. And Red, as you're really starting to lose your grip on stuff. Can you roll me a very, very important survival check, please?
Can I assist in any way?
Sure, that makes sense.
Oh, my survival is so low. I would love that.
How can I assist?
Tyler, go ahead and roll me a first aid check. And if she fails her survival check, we'll say that yours has the same, roughly the same effect.
Okay. Yeah, that's a super fail.
Sorry, when she fails, not if.
Yeah, that's a big fail. Big old fail.
I rolled a 78. I'll spend 8 luck to bring it to a normal success.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Great. So, Red, you, again, everything's getting, like, real soap opery in here for you. You reach down to the glowing hands on your sort of pressing into your wound, and you just grip onto one of them, and you see a glowing eye on it briefly, but it doesn't really matter to you at this point. You're pretty far gone. And, Richter, you feel Red grasp your hand, and even though, as we've established, you really hate being touched, there's something so desperate and it's a feeling you remember from the church. It's a feeling you remember from when you tried to protect those local kids who liked getting
these
into
children.
Trouble.
Yeah.
And so you clutch back kind of the blood from your weeping
my
scar,
marked hand. Yeah.
Mixing with hers. And as the car pulls up, Red, you just see Sally kind of get brighter and brighter, and then her eyes go dark, and her head twists fully around, and she just looks at you with a sad smile and says, I'm telling you, Tracy, you really should have taken my hand.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Louis, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Oh, hey, friends, it's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. You don't know me, but I'm going to introduce you to Dungeons & Dragons, where I play D&D with my friends, and they're going to become your friends because
you're going to love us so much. I mean, maybe you won't love us, but we'll love you.
Let me give you a taste of the show in 42 seconds. Let's go!
You must have a flask?
He's got a satchel.
That was the most disappointed way I've ever heard anyone say the word satchel.
How much is a donkey cost?
Russ, how much is a donkey cost?
The question everyone wants to know.
For 1 hour.
It's concentration, so if you do another concentration spell...
It's abjuration, you doink.
It's concentration.
I mean, that sounds like exactly the sort of person you should probably tell your friends about. The kind that are there and say, like, weird, mysterious things and then just disappear?
Yeah, that's why I'm telling you.
Okay.
Also, he had three eyes.
Oh!
We're having this rager. I mean, Lich Astley and the Magic Missiles is going to be playing later tonight.
Is he ever going to give you up?
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Orcus is going to rule all and he won't desert you. What else do I need to tell you? We're Dungeons & Dragons. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts or at dumbdragons.com. We can't wait to adventure with you!